To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by SoundMind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
There's the loudest sound of people scraping our house painting.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK and WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here. For checking out the episode, please do hit that subscribe button. If you're not already, you're going to get new interviews just like this one sent your way every single week. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And please do give this series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. We've had some great guests drop by lately. Lucy Dacus was just here. We talked with Dean Wareham and Britta Phillips about Luna and Galaxy 500. Alan Walker, the Norwegian DJ. We had Randy Bachman and Procol Harum. Zara Larsson, the Swedish pop star. Seth MacFarlane, of course, of Family Guy and the Orville and Ted. Shirley Manson of Garbage. Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker himself. Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Renee Elise Goldsberry. Before she was harmonizing with Lin-Manuel Miranda in Hamilton, Renee had already racked up a resume that reads like a random IMDb shuffle. Soap operas, Ally McBeal, The Good Wife, and a little something called One Life to Live that earned her a daytime Emmy. But, of course, it was Broadway that turned her into a household name. She played Angelica Schuyler, like she had a PhD in Grace Under Pressure and a minor in vocal gymnastics, stealing hearts and Tony Awards attention. Since then, she's flexed her comedic timing in Girls 5 Eva, joined the Marvel Universe in She-Hulk, and now she's adding debut solo album to her career that's already included Grammys, Emmys, and singing backup for Patti LaBelle. Renee's the rare kind of performer who can belt a showstopper, deliver a monologue, and still outshine the CGI in a Disney Plus finale. And now she's finally doing the thing that everyone's been waiting for, putting her name on the front of an album. It's called Who I Really Am. And Renee's going to open up about why it took this long to release a solo LP, why now was the moment to bet on herself. She's going to discuss the freedom of genre hopping across pop, musical theater, and soul, and how she came to reinterpret Satisfied for this new chapter. And how Girls 5 Eva and Sarah Bareilles helped spark her confidence to record original material, including a Bareilles pin track. So let's get into it. We're talking about all of that and more. It's Kyle Meredith with Renee Elise Goldsberry.
Hi, how are you?
Well, first off, the compliments. Who I Really Am. So this is a fantastic record. There is so many different like subgenres going on here. I was surprised with every single song. It's like, oh my God. Is there nothing she can't do? Is there nothing she can't tackle right here?
Well, put on here is the question.
But it, seriously, I mean, this is a big thing. This is a great accomplishment for anybody. But for this to be I mean, you've been a part of albums before, but this is what you call your debut album, right?
Yeah, it feels that way, specifically because the platform has changed. Lord knows my family and friends have gotten albums from me in the past. But, you know, on the larger stage, I've had the privilege of being a part of wonderful collaborations with many different artists, many different genius songwriters. And this is all me with some really brilliant people that I went into the studio with.
So was it always part of the plan? Is this something kind of always meant to get to, or was there kind of a light bulb moment? It's like, I need to do this record.
I've always wanted to. Sometimes you say you're going to do something and all the other things come first. I think what's a miracle is the fact that Broadway and some success on television and film led to an opportunity to do this. That really is a miracle to me, because when I started my career, I didn't think that you could be known for anything other than being a recording artist and have anyone take you seriously as a recording artist. It works the other way around. Everyone loves to see recording artists transition into film and television and go see them. Nicole Scherzinger just won a Tony. So people love to see that. But for people to embrace this in the way that they have is really a miracle and wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, to call it who I really am.
Yeah.
And I just want to point this out at the beginning, that I just saw you as Mrs. T on Mulaney's show. And if this is who you really are, well timed. That's
so funny. It's so funny. I wear some different hats. I wear some different hats, and the making of this album has helped me to embrace that as my power, as opposed to something that is somehow or another diminishes it. You know, for so long, you know, I've been staring at, you know, my love of songwriting and my love of singing and recording, and thinking it was hard to do because I was told it really had, you had to really be in a very narrow lane to be legitimate. And that's really not who I am. And I don't think that's who we are as a people, especially not in the way that we ingest content anymore. That's just not who we are. You can't tell us who we are. We really can be everything.
I mean, that was probably always the story, right? But we had this idea that the t-shirt we wore, especially growing up in the 80s and 90s, you know, the t-shirt you wore defined the only thing you could listen to.
Absolutely.
And I remember being a teenager in mid-90s, whatever that was, and not telling my friends that I liked Genuine. You know, or something like that, because, you know, it's like we weren't allowed to, or whatever that was, you know.
And who are you? You
don't, yeah, but we were all listening to everything all the time. So why can't that be reflected in what the artist does too? I mean, I keep my two greatest idols over my shoulder there, you know, with Prince and Bowie, and they were, I mean, they defined it from the beginning. So to what you're saying, to finally make that jump to go into this, usually there's no plan. But as I mentioned at the beginning of the interview, I mean, we hear so many different sounds from you. I'm like, does that come naturally? Or do you make a point of it going, I really am going to show everything that I can do, or a lot of that I can do?
Well, it took it feels like four albums, because there's a lot more music. I just chose 13 tracks. But it took 4 years, because there's no like kind of master strategy of it's going to sound like this one thing. That is definitely a concept, you know, but for me, it was really, let's just express. I mean, it was 2020, and I think anything that came out, we wanted to explore. And then I looked back in 2022 when it was time to release the album, and I thought, oh my gosh, there's so many outliers here. How can I put this song Staring next to this song Who I Really Am, next to Satisfied, next to this other like power ballad? How do I do that? Well, I can't, because people don't do that. You know, I didn't remember my friend Bowie over there. And so I thought, well, maybe I need to revisit all of these songs and make them sound like one thing, because I'm introducing an artist. And a friend of mine came to see one of my shows, because I've been performing the whole time. And he said, what are you doing? No one that shows up for you expects to see one thing. If I go on Spotify, if I go anywhere right now and look for you, I'm going to find so many different versions of who you are. And that was even before Mulaney. And you know, we have license to do whatever we give ourselves license to do. And I think we underestimate audiences when we think that they only want a box. That's not who anybody is.
No.
And so this has been a wonderful lesson for me, just to embrace the outlier.
And we'll be right back right after this. Hey, it's Kyle Meredith. Are you ready to lose weight? With Effecty, getting access to powerful, personalized GLP-1 weight loss medications has never been easier or more affordable. These medications work by regulating appetite and blood sugar, helping you lose weight in a sustainable, science-backed way. And getting started is simple. Fill out a short medical questionnaire, then connect with a licensed provider through a quick chat-based telehealth consultation. If you're eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door. No hassle, no waiting rooms. With transparent pricing, no hidden fees, and no membership required, Effecty is committed to making proven weight loss treatments accessible to everyone. And no matter where you live, Effecty makes it easy to access GLP-1 treatments. The entire process is online and remote, so you can start your weight loss journey from the comfort of your home without the hassle of commuting or long wait times. Whether you're in a major city or a small town, you can access top-tier care from licensed professionals at your convenience. So, are you ready to level up your weight loss game? Right now, my listeners can get $50 off GLP-1 weight loss treatments at Effecty.com with code KMW at checkout. That's Effecty.com, EFFECTY.com, and use the code KMW to get $50 off your first month of GLP-1 weight loss treatments. No hassles, no memberships, and no hidden fees. So what are you waiting for? Get started today.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Renee Elise Goldsberry. What I do like, and of course, knowing your background, Broadway, etc., like, we feel that though throughout the record. I mean, I said, you know, on one hand, it can be a pop album for people who love musicals, because I feel that in these, and especially, I mean, you start with introducing. I mean, you set this up like it's a bigger piece, which, I mean, as you know, just that's something I look for. I love when, you know, it's because the album, right? It's we're in a singles world, but if you can still put an album together and you set it up, I mean, that's some Sgt. Pepper stuff right there.
Can I tell you that I have a 12-year-old daughter, and a couple of years ago, actually, when I was working on it, she said, "Mommy, what's an album?" And I said, "What?" And she said, "What's an album?" And she was just like in her own world, like in the backseat of the car thinking. And then she started to answer it. She tried to formulate an answer. Is that like when an artist decides to put out a bunch of songs at the same time? And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Why would they do that?" And I just was like, you know, and it was so freeing for me. Because, you know, I that's exactly what I was doing, and I knew I still wanted to do it, but it made me realize there are no rules. You know, she's freer than I am, and because she's new. But the world that she knows, like you said, it's whatever it is. And she didn't think it was wrong to have an album. She just had never conceived of it because she listens to radio all day long. That's what she loves, you know. And I guess, and I think she understands what a playlist is.
Which, and how that's different than an album.
And how that's different, but that's something that she curates. So it's been a wonderful journey in opening my own mind.
And even as I look at the track list here, I mean, Love Returned, what a great example.
Never thought in a million years anybody would let me put that on an album.
Yeah, because, and like, at first time I heard it's like little Ani DeFranco happening here, you know? But you're, this is... Talking about storytelling, as you're a storyteller, like, how did this song happen? Because you are, I don't want to say you're talking, because you're definitely, it's more than that, but this is kind of a version of that style of emoting.
It is storytelling. I just started. I had this great loop track from my guitar player Jordan Peters from my band, who was in the middle of 2020 just sending me riffs all the time, just throwing riffs my way because he was probably stuck in an apartment in New York City riffing. And I remembered this moment in college where I got my heart broken. And I remember becoming every cliche of a heartbroken person running through the rain. And I just started telling the story and it just kind of came out of me that way. And it was right, And I just thought, well, maybe, I don't know who's ever gonna hear this. I don't know that it could go on my album because I'm certainly not gonna do 13 tracks of that. Because the moment doesn't need to be told in that way, but every moment needs to be told in its own way. And that one came out like that. It's a story. And sometimes you start singing and then there's this theme. My life is a scene from a movie. Like this is like almost a joke. Like I'm in a movie and it just came out in this metaphor. And, as like, I'm in a coffee shop telling a story, but sometimes I have to sing. And I, at some point I realized if I don't put it on the album, then I can't call it who I really am.
I'm so happy that song exists. It's one of my favorite moments of that record.
Thank you.
Which happens a lot. You hear artists talk about that, the song that like, there's always that governor in your head, right? That, it said, can I do this?
Yeah.
Is this how a song's supposed to sound like?
Yeah.
And if you can push through that, it ends up being one of the more special moments a lot of times for a lot of people.
I'm so glad to hear it. At some point I realized I can't not. So let's hope the world gets it. And if they don't, somebody will. That's the beauty of music. Somebody will find it. Somebody will get it. You just hope it's more people than less.
Right. Right.
But as to me in my heart, as long as it finds somebody who's, because there's like another potential title for the album was The Moral to the Story, and that's what it is at this point in my life. If I'm telling a story about heartbreak, there's something. It's not just sitting in the moment of the heartbreak. It's the looking back on it. If I'm telling something about breaking someone's heart, I know what ended up happening in the end. As that story of I met someone, I know that in the end, the best thing I ever did for the person whose heart I broke was get out of the way. So it's just a wonderful vantage point as a storyteller to have lived a number of years to know the moral of the story.
And hearing that up against the other ones, because, that for that to be such a specific type of song, I mean, Staring, this incredible single, bombastic almost.
Yeah, my God, I wish you would have told me that. I wish you would have given me that adjective before I had to write my bio about this. That's the best one I've heard. I didn't come up with that.
But it is. I mean, that's a big song. That's a big song. I mean, you have these very tiny personal moments in there, and then you have something like that. I mean, talk about swinging for the fences. And I hope you don't mind just the general question again, but I'd love to know how that one came about.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? A great bass line. That I tried to re-record that song several times because I just thought this is just too out for the rest of the album. Who is she? I mean, I'm even singing in a different part of my voice. I'm like, if I'm debuting myself as a singer, they're going to be like, who is that? Can you do that? There's a bad effect on my voice. I'm singing in a different part of my register. And so I took the song to Nashville, the greatest players in the world, and had them, let's put it through this band so that it sounds like the same artist. And one of the greatest bass players I've ever known in my life said, whatever that guy's doing from LA, it's something, I don't even know what it is. Leave it alone, don't touch it. So yeah, it started with this amazing, like out bass line. Is it blues? Is it like some modern? It's kind of off kilter.
And it's got swing to it.
Like, it swings and it's everything we know about a blues, but it's not. It's like modern and off. And I had to figure out I had to find my way into the groove. And once I got there, I didn't want to let go. And then I just started singing about my husband. You trying to objectify him because what's obvious is that he's a great person. What's obvious is he's a great person, but I just loved the idea of like reducing him to parts,
How do you feel about it?
He loves it.
Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't to get a song like that about him? Yeah. Oh, that's great. And God, smiling is so fun. And
no, I love it. It's summertime.
Yeah, you're so close. I was like, I hear a little bit of even Gaga style in there. And that's what I talk about, these points, you know, that you can, it doesn't sound like you're ever emulating someone. And you could have, I mean, you're an actress, right? You could go into those characters if you want to. And so I kind of hear just these little DNAs of people, but it never sounds like you're trying to be that person.
I'm so glad. I wouldn't know how to. But you know, you're right. I am an actress, and the value that my value as an actor is really finding myself in things. So I'm glad that you said that because I do feel like it is 100% who I am, even as it morphs into different things throughout the 13 track.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Renee Elise Goldsberry, which of course is an easy seg to Satisfied.
Yay.
What does that song get to say in the context of this story, in the context of who I really am?
Well, what's really beautiful, and it was not intentional. Most things are not in my world, especially when they work out. But is that, you know, what is Satisfied? What genre is that? It's literally about capturing a moment. That's the only allegiance it has. It doesn't have an allegiance to a genre. And so how could I put it on an album and it fit unless all of the rest of the songs are doing that in some way, shape or form. So it actually ended up being the best thing. I can include this song because there are all of these other moments happening that are just about capturing a moment. Why does it exist? It exists because I had to find a way to sing that song in concert and I couldn't bring the cast with me. All I had was this badass band and these amazing singers. And so we arranged it in a way that was, forgive me, satisfying for an audience of people. I mean, I always joke at the beginning of my concert, I'm not going to be able to make it out of here alive if I don't sing that song. So how can we share it in this space in a way that is satisfying to you? And so we invented that. It always works. It always kills. It is not the same thing. And it is the same thing. And we recorded it. And I love it. And if you will allow me to continue to elaborate, ironically, in 2020, when I started this, I've always wanted to do an album. But in 2020, when everybody else was making cooking shows.
Right. Everybody's got their bread.
I
sure.
Awesome podcasts. And I couldn't pull that together. I had an opportunity to make an album for this label. And their thought was, can you do covers? Can you do like standards and covers? Because you're the singer and that's what people will want from you. And as a debut artist, you should come in singing other people's music with covers. And I thought, kill me now, please. There's nothing harder for a songwriter than to have to look through songs other people have written to find out how to tell who they are. It would have been a nightmare. And then they said, oh, and the expiration, I guess there's a period of time when you cannot record a song that you've done in a show, and that had just expired. So they were like, oh, and you can now re-record Satisfied. Can you do a cover of that? And I thought, no, I've already done it. It's perfect. I love it the way that it is. But then I thought, if I'm going to put Satisfied on an album, then why do I have to do any other cover? No one else cares if I sing My Funny Valentine. But Satisfied, maybe they'll care about, will that give me license to do my own songs? And they said, yes. I didn't end up putting the album through them, but it stayed because it was just a good idea.
I'm really happy you didn't put the album out through that. but I love how it works because, of course, I know the song, but I didn't need to know the song. You know, that song stands and it feels like it's a part of it. It doesn't feel like it's... You know, what was it? 12 tracks and that one, or you know,
thank or what, God.
Yeah, right. And that's
just great. That's why we put it like right in the middle.
Yeah,
you know? Just like it's a part of who she is. How could I say who I am without including that song? When really that's the song that sets me up to have an album.
And returning to the scene of the crime like that, so well timed, of course, with the 10th anniversary. And how was the reunion? What was that like at the Tonys? Because watching you all do that felt just as mind-blowing as the first time.
I just, Lin, Manuel Miranda, I love to drop his name whenever I can, just sent me a text this morning with a TikTok of somebody recording their face while watching the Tony performance, like going through all the emotions when different ones of us came out, like just laughing, like because it was just such a joy for us. We're still all so high from it and missing each other already, and it was only 2 days ago. And you know, my response was, oh, you know, just we're just mind blown that the world would celebrate with us the thing that is our greatest joy, and that's reuniting as a family, that the world would recognize that they're a part of the family and celebrate it with us and allow us to have that moment. And it was over too quick.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
It was awesome, and it'll live with me forever. And it's really just kind of explains how this whole show feels. And that is, how can there be something more to get to receive from this? It's mind blowing.
And I know the show has always been around, whether you're in it or out of it, but when you get everybody together like that, I mean, is it like, you go hang out with friends that you haven't known in 20 years and everybody just becomes the person they were in that moment?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is like that. It's a lot of, you know, it's love all over the room. We just keep saying it over and over and over again. And also, we're ridiculously silly. So, you know how in every group of friends you have, you kind of have a language.
Sure. Yeah.
You have a way you start talking. You have, you know, you have your inside jokes. You have, yeah. So it's all of those things that come just rushing back in. A lot of laughing and a lot of our phones up all the time, trying to save it, trying to capture the moment.
Which, thank you for the content, by the way. I've enjoyed that as well. I know a lot of us have.
I have so much content. I have a whole documentary of Hamilton content. I have a documentary that we premiered in a bunch of film festivals last year. And I went to my cast and I said, please download all of your content and send it to me. And one of the cast members, Andrew Chappelle, said, should we just license all this to you now, Renee? Because clearly you're going to try to make something of this. We love each other. We're in heaven when we're together. We're sad it's already over, but it's not over, because this whole 10-year celebration is going to continue. We have some other things in store.
Nice. Nice. And then I want to bring up the other family that you've been a part of for the last few years, which is Girls 5 Eva.
Yay!
Of course, Sarah's been on the show a handful of times, and we love having her around here. But of course, then, God, listen, okay, the show doesn't exist right now. New episodes, right? It got canceled? What is it?
I'm so glad you asked. Let me clarify.
Please.
It's so crazy, the narrative. You know, we're glad that anybody's talking about us and wants to talk about us at all. But I'll tell you, the show was picked up by Netflix for a third season, and they only picked up one season. So we did the one season, and it was spectacular.
It was spectacular.
Absolutely spectacular. And then they also loved the show so much that they bought the right to air the first two seasons that were on Peacock. So you can see the first two on Peacock, you can see all three seasons on Netflix, because they went out of their way to be able to provide that. And now we're just kind of, you know, in a holding pattern, waiting to see if we would ever make more. But there was no canceling, because there was no like, oh, we had planned to do something more. In my heart, I love the show so much, and the show is so loved, even by the executives at Netflix that I know and love. I have this dream that in like 10 years, we're going to be back.
That's how it would happen, right?
In harmony. Yes. I mean, I think it'll be even funnier in about 10 years when we're, you know, when we're dressing alike and doing harmony and like, you know, trying to take over malls that I'm sure won't exist by that point. So that's my dream for the show. But what it's given me, other than this, the opportunity to create this character, Wiki Roy, that is my Sasha Fierce. She's my Sasha Fierce.
Nice.
She's the reason
nice.
Why I've been able to, I'm sure that all of the things we've already talked about might not have been as easy for me to discover if it had not been for this Wiki Roy character from Girls 5 Eva, who's so unapologetically ambitious And obnoxious, but we kind of love her for that. But the other thing that's a gift to me is knowing Sarah Bareilles and Paula Pell and Busy Phillips, knowing these women who are just, they're just bosses. They have so much to say, and they are always, always, always just changing the world with what, with the art that comes out of them. Sarah, this is a segue. When we were shooting Girls 5 Eva, I told her, sheepishly that I was recording an original album. And she said, oh, I have a song. I have a great song that I wrote, and I think you would sing it great. I'll send it to you. You know, maybe you want to use it. And I was like, okay, like, what is my life? And I had just written a song called I Met Someone, and she sent me this song called I Don't Want to Love You. I Met Someone is about this moment where I tell somebody that has loved me and that I love very much that I met someone else and have to figure out how to make words to break someone's heart. And I Don't Want to Love You feels like the other side of the coin. It feels like hearing those words. It is so perfect because everything she writes is perfect. And I thought it was such a wonderful companion to, you know, both sides of that conversation. And so I recorded it and I love it. And I finally had the courage to send it to her, and she gave me her stamp of approval. And it's one of my favorite songs on the album.
That's what I love about this is in my notes right here, I have those two songs together. Not because I put it together thematically, which I'm always a little late on picking up all the cues, right? But that's what, when I heard those two, I hadn't read the liner notes. I didn't know that Sarah had co-written on it or anything like that. But when I first heard Met Someone, as I was talking about, like, you hear these little sort of things. It's like, I can hear little Sarah in her style, you know, the way she phrases vocals or something like that in Met Someone. And then to read the notes and see, But Don't Want to Love You is actually the song that she is like.
The song that she wrote.
I mean, those songs literally were meant for each other.
I'm going to take some notes here on the things that you've said. Because you know what you're doing. I absolutely feel like they were meant for each other. I'm so glad you said it, especially because she is, I think, maybe the one of the greatest singer-songwriters that's ever lived. I can't believe I get to live in the same time as her and actually that feel that she's my sister and actually have her kind of, you know, calling me and checking in from time to time saying, how's it going? What are you doing? What support do you need? It really is very pinch me to have the support of someone who does it better than anybody. And it's, I think, pretty brave, perhaps a little reckless to put a Sarah Bareilles song and a Lin-Manuel Miranda song on an album, a debut original music album. That's pretty brave. Because what's most likely is everyone's going to hear it. They're going to pick those two songs off and be like, these are my favorite, and move on with their life. And so the fact that, you know, the fact that other ones here have stood next to them, you know, bravely and confidently makes me very happy.
When you've got songs like Staring and Love Returned and you're fine. You got no problem standing up next to those songs. And come on, you're an absolute legend, you know, with what you've done in your career. So you know, putting those two on a pedestal higher than you, you're all standing there. You know this.
Yeah. Thank you. I actually need to hear it. I'm going to write that down too. It's helpful to hear because you know, what one thing when you do something, and that's why I want to take notes on what you're saying. When you do something, you're one of the greatest gifts is recognizing what other people are doing when they do something well. Like not only like, oh, that's great, but knowing why it's great, knowing what was hard about it, knowing what kind of mind-blowing thing that maybe no one else might get is happening. Like that's kind of my perspective when I watch some of my heroes work. And so it could be daunting, but really what it is inspiring, because one thing they all do is that they take great risks.
Well done on the risk that you've taken all over this album and in your career. I mean, geez, there's so many things. What's going on next?
What's next? That's really great. Well, in the moment, it is is learning how to promote this album, actually. That's actually one of the trickiest things I found, because I'm so used to promoting other people's work. And I feel like I'm good at it. Like, I love to do it because I believe in it. I know who I am in it. And what's been a little trickier is standing up for myself and answering the question, who are you really, Renee? I mean, that's actually the only reason why I regret making that the title track, is because I've had to find an answer for it. And even that is growing, because the answer keeps changing, and that's good. Right now, the answer is simply me in all of its forms. And it's also not about the answer, but about the search to figure it out.
Well, I hope you keep searching, whether you arrive there or not, if it means albums like this. And I hope it doesn't take too long for you to do your sophomore album.
Oh my God.
Because you got your whole life to do your first album, right?
I know. And then you got to be ready. I've heard artists say, you better have a lot of music stored up for your sophomore album. And right behind my computer screen, I'm looking at a wall of song titles for album number two. And I'm glad that you said that, because I'm ready.
Yeah, right on. Well, I can't wait. I love this album so much. I'm so happy you made it. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Thank you for giving me a better way to talk about it. And most importantly, thank you for celebrating it. You can't imagine how helpful it is in figuring out who I am and what this is, to hear people that you respect affirm you. Thank you.
And my thanks to Renee, Who I Really Am is the new album. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Before you get out of here, make sure to hit that subscribe button if you're not already. You'll get new interviews just like this one sent your way at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and please do give this series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Bonnie Raitt, Toots and the Maytals, The Lumineers, Tegan and Sarah, Mike Watt, The Staple Singers, The Motels, Primal Scream, Collective Soul, Haim, Leve, and my interview with Auli'i Carvalho. You know her as the voice of Moana, among many other things. That's what you're going to hear when you tune in weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
If this was a Girls 5-11 interview, it would have been amazing. In the comment, what is the ladder?
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org, from Louisville Public Media.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.